Let's turn now to North Carolina, where legislators have taken a significant step in regulating millions of tons of coal ash. It's a toxic substance that's generated by coal-burning electricity plants, and it contains arsenic, mercury, and lead. For years, Duke Energy, the nation's largest electricity company, has been pooling coal ash in unlined ponds. One of those ponds failed in early February, coating miles of North Carolina's Dan River in gray sludge, and that prompted this week's new regulation. Jorge Valencia is Capitol reporter for WUNC in North Carolina, and he joins us with more. Hi there.
Hey, Magna.
So first of all, just remind us of what happened in this massive big spill back in February.
About 39,000 tons of coal ash spilled from a pond that Duke Energy has right next to a facility in the Dan River. This is right next to the border between Virginia and North Carolina. And it just started gushing out on a Sunday and it kept on spilling for about a week, coating the river almost all the way to Danville, Virginia, which is, you know, which is pretty far away.
That's what, 70 miles of the river, roughly?
Yeah.
Wow. And what effect did all that have?
Well, immediately, environmentally, we knew that, you know, I mean, if you throw coal ash on a fish, the fish is going to die. But there was some political result to this. One thing that happened is that this spill happened to be in the district represented by Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger. Some people believe that he is actually the most influential politician in the state of North Carolina. Some people think even more so than the governor of North Carolina. So almost immediately, lawmakers were saying that, you know, we think we should take some action.
So, Jorge, what does this new plan that legislators have approved involve then in terms of controlling the possibility of another bad spill like this?
They've been working on this for, you know, some 6 months now. There was a lot of back and forth between the state house and the state senate. What they were finally able to agree on and they approved and they sent to the governor yesterday was a plan that sets up a 15-year time frame for Duke Energy to manage these ponds. And there's going to be ponds set up in three tiers, you know, the highest priority, medium priority, and lowest priority. The highest ones, within 5 years, they're going to have to take out all of the ash from the ponds and take it to a facility somewhere else where it's dry and where it's far away from a body of water, or to turn it into some sort of a substance that can be used for productive use, like concrete. The lowest tier, you know, they could potentially just drain the water out of those ponds and cover it with dirt and put in some sort of technology to ostensibly prevent that coal ash from contaminating groundwater.
How much compromise did this legislation involve? Because I'm reading that environmental groups in North Carolina are not happy with it.
No, not very happy. The Southern Environmental Law Center says that basically this bill just gives a lot of handouts to Duke Energy. Duke, when this happened, they said that they were going to do something about it even before lawmakers started taking any action with it. And so the way that some of the conservation groups are seeing this is that this simply turns into law what Duke Energy already said they were going to do.
Right. And so there are more than 30 such ponds across North Carolina. What is Duke Energy saying?
Well, Duke Energy, just when the General Assembly agreed on this bill, simply said this is going to strengthen the approach to coal ash and we're immediately going to start working towards this. But, you know, stepping back a little bit, we also know their engineers have estimated that it would cost them $10 billion with a B to handle all of this coal ash, because we're talking about like 100 million tons of coal ash. I mean, this is a lot. I mean, there's not even enough room in the state of North Carolina to transfer this into a dry storage.
Is Duke expected to pay for it all?
Well, that's a good question, because that's, you know, the Democratic minority in the state house yesterday was a little bit upset about it, because the legislation doesn't say anything about that cost. It just simply leaves it to the State Utilities Commission, which determines whether or not, you know, in any case, whether or not Duke can increase the rate. So the General Assembly said, you know, we're going to leave it to that commission. Duke will be able to apply to increase rates to pay for this handling of the ash. And, you know, we're going to leave it up to them. So whether or not Duke is going to pay for it, that's still to be determined.
Right. So, Jorge, this is the first bill of its kind in the country. But, of course, coal-burning power plants are all over the United States. I'm seeing that there are more than 1,000 such coal ash ponds across the country. So is there any chance that we could see similar legislation or action in other states?
Well, certainly North Carolina lawmakers hope that they are setting a precedent. But we also know that the Federal Environmental Protection Agency is expected to make some sort of decision later on this week as to how coal ash has to be managed across the country. Because right now, it's sort of a patchwork. You know, it just depends on whatever each state decides that they want to do. So it's possible that the EPA could put something in place later this year. It's just saying that perhaps throughout the whole country, coal ash has to be managed maybe in a way similar to what North Carolina is doing, or maybe they'll do something more strict. We don't know yet.
Is Governor Pat McCrory going to sign this bill, you think?
It seems likely that he will sign it. He was certainly involved in this process. He even had a little bit of a credibility liability because before he became governor, he was mayor of the city of Charlotte. And along with that, he worked for Duke Energy, which is one of the biggest companies here in North Carolina, for more than 20 years. So he's been pretty closely involved in this process. Certainly, we believe that the House and the Senate have been speaking with him throughout their negotiation. So we think that it is likely that he's going to sign it.
Jorge Valencia with WUNC. Thanks so much.